Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We are going to continue to take a look at St. Peter's first chapter from St. Peter's first letter. The church gives it to us in today's reading. And it's a continuation of where we were yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all right there. You can listen to them at your convenience, or you could just download the Renewal Ministries app or the Ave Maria app or both. And you can listen to the programming that we do, the video, the YouTubes, the television programs, all the stuff that we do and produce at the ministry is available to you anytime, night or day, if you need it. So Peter, again, is speaking to a community of young Christians, that is, new Christians is a better way to put it, a community that's in a huge pagan Roman Empire, and they're a small band of people who've come to experience the power of God, conversion, salvation, the first steps of moving into a living relationship with Christ, being in the body of Christ, and Peter is honoring them. It's great. The beginning of the letter, you see what is consistent, a consistent practice of the apostles in writing the letters. They always begin with, besides thanking God the Father and giving glory for what he's done in Jesus, they begin by acknowledging and helping people see what God has done for them. Because the most important thing in the whole of the Christian life is what God has done for us. That's the starting point. Who is he and what has he done for us in his Son that makes it possible for us to see God, understand God, to come into a living relationship with God, ever since forgiven, to be able to enter into all that Jesus brought us. So the most important thing is what he's done for us, but then he calls us to respond to him. And I think sometimes we get the cart before the horse there, where we're talking more about what we're supposed to do for God before we really lay hold of what he's done for us. And it's from that knowledge and living in it by the grace of the Holy Spirit, who is the first teacher who escorts us into the presence of God the Father, who opens up the treasures of the kingdom of God to us. It's that grace at work in us, the love that begins to grow, as Peter identifies in the church, that makes the doing and the responding not always simple. It's simple. It's not always easy, because life is filled with trials, but it's an empowered life. It's an empowered response. It's a grace-filled act of love. And love knows no fatigue, as St. Augustine said. You know, the kind of love that is in our hearts and the power of the Holy Spirit that just keeps us coming, as we see in these communities, even in the midst of persecution and trial, and following Jesus at great cost. As they followed the apostles, obviously, all of but one of whom ended up being martyred. So it's a continuation of that first chapter today. So it says, "Beloved, concerning the salvation of souls, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and investigated it, investigating the time and the circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories to follow them." So he's talking about the prophets of the Old Testament who prophesied the coming of the Messiah. God would put his law into our hearts. He'd take out the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. He would give us a new spirit. And he said they wondered the prophecy. They didn't understand fully what was coming and when it would exactly begin and when the Spirit of Christ was indicating in them. What's interesting, what we're seeing here is Peter says it's the same Holy Spirit. You know, it's the same Holy Spirit who was there at creation, the Spirit that hovered over the waters. The whole of God's creative reality is a work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. And it's the Spirit of Christ. Remember, Scripture says, Colossians, all was made for Jesus. All Christ was all made through him. And it's the Holy Spirit in union with Christ. And he said, so Peter sees, it's that same Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ who's speaking through the prophets of the Old Testament of the coming of the Lord and the glory, his suffering, how he would suffer. It wasn't clear to the prophets exactly how that would unfold and what it was all about, but Peter goes on to say this. He said, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, with regard to the things that have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The coming of Jesus is the culmination in the fullness of time. God sent forth his son into the world, St. Paul said. The time, you know, God's gradual revelation and unfolding of his plan and purpose reaches its apex in the incarnation, the Lord's coming. And Peter points and he says that, again, it was revealed to them, that is the prophets, that they were serving not themselves, but you. They knew that he wasn't coming in that moment, but the days would come when it would happen. And these realities of what they prophesied, Peter said, now you have laid hold of. They've come to you, the very things prophesied by the great prophets. And how did you access them? Through the good news. Friends, this is the way the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the way it makes progress in history. It comes through the preaching of the gospel. Go make disciples of all nations, Jesus said, the Great Commission, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the good news is the good news about a person. And the good news of what God has done in Jesus is the doorway out, is the pathway, is the way out of the bad news that the human race is living in. The fallen condition, darkness, the reality of sin and sin and death in the world. I mean, it's with every generation, it's undeniable. Even though people try to deny it, it's just so clear. And we can see it happening all over the world today. Wars and rumors of wars and perversion and division and lying and cheating and so much going on, right? So much brokenness, so much deception. But Peter said, this was preached to you through the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven. Why is this good news about Jesus so powerful? Well, number one, it's true. It's a fact. The second person of the Trinity took on human flesh and became one of us. And he preached the kingdom. He revealed the Father. He made it clear what it meant that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He showed us the way to the Father. He showed us the truth about the human condition, about who, the truth about who God is, the truth about reality. And he's the life. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And so the life that was in Jesus gets transferred to us. The whole plan of salvation is the reality that God enters his own story. And God becomes one of us. God himself, the second person of the Trinity, the God life, the divine life, the second person of the Trinity takes on human flesh. So there in Jesus, in the incarnation, is where it all begins, the work, the fundamental grace of salvation began there. Because God totally united himself in his son to human flesh. And that opened the door for humanity to dwell with the Spirit, for human flesh to become not just something fallen from grace, without hope, destined for death and separation, but now in the person of Christ, you have the human heart becomes a temple of the living God. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me. So he's the anointed one who brings the anointing on human flesh. It changes everything, friends, absolutely. And then he walks it out and he shows us, he teaches us what this life is all about. And then on the cross, he lays down his life. We'll be looking at that tomorrow. We start, you know, it's Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, and we'll be living, walking through a penitential season that's preparing for us to walk through the Triduum, the arrest on Last Supper and arrest on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the crucifixion, and then celebrating the resurrection together. These events that define us completely. They're the defining events of our lives. And Peter is saying, all the reality that the Father accomplished in Jesus has been made accessible to you and has been given to you. In fact, you've been baptized into it, he said. So he said, this good news comes to you through the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven. So the first missionary, or let me back up just a little bit. I remember a course I took years ago, and a very good teacher was describing so clearly and vividly with such inspiration that the work of salvation is an expression of the Trinitarian missions. All the whole work of salvation is the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The initiative of salvation, seeking and saving the lost, begins in the heart of a loving Father, as St. John Paul II put it, who goes in search of a race of people who are lost and separated and dying. For God so loved the world, he sent his son. So Jesus then enters the mission. He comes, he proclaims, brings the kingdom, brings the new reality, makes it possible, brings about the birth of the new creation in his own person, the new reality, the future of the human race, born in the resurrected humanity of Jesus. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when the church is born. Through the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven, Jesus said to the apostles at the Last Supper in John's Last Supper discourse, which we've talked about many times on the program, Jesus said, I'm going away, but it's better for you that I go away so that I can send the Spirit. And the Spirit will be with you. He'll dwell in you. You'll become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and he'll counsel you. He'll empower you. He'll teach you. He'll remind you everything. So that's what you've been given. So he says this again, Peter, to those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Angels themselves didn't fully understand until it unfolded, and they saw the mystery of God's plan for all that was there from all eternity. So Peter then exhorts them, since all of this has happened to you, he said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. There's an image of, you know, remember those days in the times of the apostles, they wore the long garments when they were walking, they had a belt, and this when you'd gird up your loins, it was a way of saying like taking action, responding, and they'd pull up sort of the skirt of it, I guess, and tuck it into the belt so they could run and move freely and move quickly. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be in that posture of alertness. Be in that posture, ready to be engaged with the Lord in his mission, engaged in the assignment he's given you in your life, living out the faith and the grace that you've been given through baptism and confirmation. And he said, live soberly. And he means literally, like, don't get drunk, you know? And set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is a really important expression of the reality of our disposition toward hope, our mindset about hope. Peter said, set your hopes, another translation, all your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. So we all have hopes and things we wish for in this world. What is the number one hope in your life? What is your heart truly set on? And here Peter's exhortation is, set your hope, set your heart, set your mind completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's grace that comes at the revelation in baptism, at the revelation, you know, my experience when I was a 20-year-old, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a genuine grace of revelation of Jesus that completely changed me. I mean, not like I walk without sin after that or anything, but I mean, in terms of my awareness of Christ and who he is, and my heart began to fall in love with him in a new way. But ultimately, Peter here is talking about the revelation of Jesus' final coming. So set your hope on the King. That is, set your confidence, your destiny. He's your North Star, right? And he said, now, like obedient children, don't act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance, but as you were called, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I'm holy. He's just quoting Jesus, quoting the Old Testament. It's our destiny. It's why the Holy Spirit has been given to us. So don't act, walk in a former ignorance of as we did, we didn't know God, but walk now in fellowship with the Lord and his people into a life of holiness. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.